You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores. I'm here with Peter Raber. Peter, nice to have you back.
Absolutely.
It is March 8th when we're recording this. Hopefully, we will be getting this out around Monday. Peter, you were down in Nashville the last time we recorded, so we had to get Robert in here. And Robert did an amazing job.
Sounded like it.
As Robert always does. But we could never get Robert to... Robert's the most... What do they call it when you're introvert, extrovert?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what the pattern is. There's a term for it.
There is a term for it.
But we talked about in the previous podcast that, you know, Robert's all the time telling stories and this, that, and the other. And he's ideally who you would want to have speaking on a podcast, but he hates to do it. Yeah, we have to, like, trick him and and things like that. But
have you seen the new Wonka movie yet?
I haven't, but I've seen the advertisements.
So there's a clip with Hugh Grant where it's like, oh, I've started singing now. I've got to, you just got to get Robert going. Yeah. You know, you got to finish.
It really is like that. Once he warms up, he's in the zone. But we talked about all things kind of taxes.
It is that time of year.
Yeah, last week. And I know that everyone's on high alert around here and a little... Things are a little tense. There's, you know, all the tax stuff rolling in. We just have a lot going on. So apologies to everyone if we seem a little on edge, but there's so much happening.
Well, there is. And it is one of those times of year where you're constantly looking for, you know, no one likes paying taxes. So you're always looking for this one little extra thing or, hey, you know, if you go track down this little piece of information, maybe we can get a little bit more, you know, savings. So it does create, and that is one of those things, like everyone's investment portfolio, they're not the same, but they can rhyme and whatnot. But everybody's tax situation has a very individual nature to it.
Yeah. Brian kind of threw me under the bus. Last week with taxes.
No, not Brian.
I know, right? But he's actually, now Brian's in Nashville this week.
Right.
You guys have kind of traded spaces. He's down there for Leadership Kingsport, and we can talk a little bit about that later. But, you know, he threw me under the bus talking about how I nitpick every single little thing to try to get every ounce of pennies I can get back.
Well, yeah.
We just thought it was really funny because we're literally... you know, two offices away from each other. And I'm over here constantly Googling things, trying to figure out what I can this or that. And Brian's just like heavy sigh.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things that as you do them, and I've been doing taxes now forever, but so many things get advertised as, well, you can deduct this on your taxes or you can do this. And then you actually get into it. And then it's like, well, you can, if these seven other things also are true.
Right.
And we deal with that a lot where some people can be pretty disappointed. Medical expenses are one of those where they're like, well, I had this big medical procedure. And it's like, well, there's an income limit. And then you have to breach this certain level. And then you've got to be better than the standard deduction. And it's like, well, it would have been, but not in your case.
Yeah, we kind of... talked a little in the realm of how it's really hard to keep up to date with all the new tax laws, what's coming in, what's going out, and talked about the advantage that we have here having Robert on staff who, you know, kind of stays up to date with all those things and who's going to actually be speaking at our Lunch and Learn March 19th coming up. So if you guys, we still have a couple of seats left if you want to RSVP to connect to AFIAdvisors.com. But, you know, yourself and Robert, you're going to dive into some of these tax laws. I know there's some that are sunsetting from the previous Trump administration.
Right.
Some things going out that people need to be aware of. But yeah, it's really hard to, you know, for a normal person like myself, I can't keep up with everything that's coming in and going out. And we talked about how we feel like even the IRS and folks don't even really know at some points in times what's going on.
Absolutely. It is one of those things, and it should be a good lunch and learn. And, you know, if you can't make it, but you're listening to this, send in a tax question. We'll answer it during the lunch and learn, and then it'll go up on YouTube.
Yeah, we're going to video it. So hopefully, you know, if you do have some questions and can't be here, absolutely, you know, like Peter said, send in a question and we'll try to get it answered for you. And then you'll be able to go to our YouTube channel later on and see the video, but you're going to miss out on Chick-fil-A.
Get in my belly!
I'm hoping the Chick-fil-A has the same effect that it does at ETSU basketball games,
shooting free throws.
Yeah, if the opponent team misses two during conference season,
yeah.
If they miss back-to-back free throws, everybody gets Chick-fil-A, and that place gets loud just for Chick-fil-A.
I just choked on my coffee. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it does get loud, and what a great marketing promotion. Whoever thought of that. That's because people get hyped about that.
They do, and
they start
chanting Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, and it becomes deafening. And I will say that they used to hand out these little cards to everybody as you left the arena so that you could go claim them. Now they've changed it to like a QR code that goes to your phone, which it's not as convenient. I'll say that. But
So it's almost like they're trying to find a way to kind of back out of it without backing out of it.
Feels like it to
just
me.
Just make it a little more difficult to redeem.
And yeah. Speaking of which, and I don't want to get too off topic, but end of the season, so they actually start the conference tournaments tonight. ETSU plays in their first game tonight.
I saw that.
But last game, the home game of the season, which was last game of the season, they always do these little games in timeouts or whatever. And one of the games they've done is the putting contest where you get like one shot from full court, one at half, and one from three-pointer. And if you make the full court putt, $5,000 win, because it builds each week somebody doesn't make it. And this kid gets up and, you know, you clearly excited and just hits the hell out of the ball from full court, goes straight in the cup.
No way.
So hard that it bounces back out and goes almost back out to half court, and the place went nuts and it counted. And, but we were all there and we were like, you know, you get all these serious, like, we play golf people, and they get up there and they line up the putt and,
you know,
they take their time and, you know, they get down and look behind their putter and whatnot. Yeah. This kid got up there and just, it was mini golf with a windmill. I'm going to whack it as hard as I can.
I can envision that right now. I can see that happening.
And so we actually overheard him in the crowd later talking to some people. It's like, I've never played golf before. You know, and so it made, you know, Facebook and a couple other things a big win. So, yeah, promotions work.
Well, if you are this child's parents, bring that money over here so we can get it invested for you.
Absolutely.
Make that kid a millionaire later on. That's what a cool story. Is there a video of that?
Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. Of these games, when they go well, we'll have to check. There were photos, but I don't know if there was a video of it.
Because that the way you described it is absolutely something that would be on SportsCenter.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was one of those ones where, like, it's almost a golf swing. Like, it comes back up in the air. It's not like a back slow and forth. I mean, he just, and like, it was while the guy was still kind of talking, because normally, you know, the MC of the event, you know, is like, this is Kevin, and he's blah, blah, blah.
So he didn't wait.
He just got up there and smacked it. He just got up there. It was like, down, go. And it was
that.
To the point, too, that, like, as he got up there, me and my family are always like, oh, that kid's going to win, you know, the tic-tac-toe contest, or that person's going to do this. And we both kind of looked at each other and was like, well, this will be interesting.
Right off the bat, right, you're like, the there's no way.
There's no way. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, well, let's, you know, I even said to Cam, like, that's not true. You know, like, he could have a shot. And then, yeah, the place went absolutely nuts.
Well, I do enjoy playing golf. I am not good, but I enjoy playing. But I do know that putting on a basketball court is like putting on glass. It's slick as can be.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's I don't know that there's even, and this kid just proved it, that there's any skill to it. It's kind of like either you get it or you don't. That's between you and the Lord, I think. But,
well, and the length of a basketball court, I mean, that's a long putt no matter what. But yeah, it was straight and true. And
I'm gonna get online and start Googling and see if I can find that. I'd love to see that. We might even have to post it if I'm able to find something. Surely someone
probably
that.
Got one somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an awesome moment.
That's really funny. Brian started the Leadership Kingsport program this year, which is ran through the Chamber of Commerce here in Kingsport. And, you know, it's geared toward developing future leaders here in the community. So they're taking their annual trip. They're down there. They've got to visit, you know, some of the Congress folks. And he's been sending me all sorts of pictures and stuff and saying that he was sitting in on a hearing where they were trying to pass a bill and all kinds of crazy stuff. Of course, I told him to just stand up and object and do something crazy, but he didn't do it. But he sent me a funny message that I thought you would think was funny. He said that he went to a Predators hockey game.
Okay.
And I already see the smirk on your face because everyone knows that Brian doesn't sport. And he's okay with that.
He's okay with that. He knows who he is.
But he sent me a message saying that he has had a really good time and said that he thinks that he's becoming a sports fan, to which I just laughed because I know that that's not probably the case. But yeah, it's weird when Brian's not here and Kaylee's out of the office as well.
Yeah, we've been a little short staffed this back half of the week. Kaylee's down in Atlanta.
Right.
And so similar to what I was doing in Nashville during the last podcast, we've started to get more and more as we've put our name out there and become more active. We've gotten more and more invites to these events where they'll bring you in. They want to talk about their products, explain how their clients are using them, how your clients might be able to do them. And so she's down in Atlanta doing one of those right now. I'll be really interested to hear what she brings back. They're really good opportunities for people to, especially, you know, like Kaylee, as she's growing in the business, to talk to other investment advisors.
Yeah.
And you're on the same side. You're not competing because you're both listening to the presentation. And I've been to a number of these things, and sometimes you lean over and you say, nobody's going to use this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, this is so niche or niche, or however somebody wants to pronounce that, because I know people have opinions. You know, but that just won't work for our people. So I'll enjoy the free food and the hotel and, right, you know, and move on. And so that was similar to what I did for the, it was Titan Investment Groups did one down in Nashville and stayed downtown, got to eat over at really good steakhouse, Jeff Ruby's, which was directly across the street. And, you know, we'll get some of those pictures out, but that one was good. There was a really good discussion. There was a pre-panel before the product things, and it was talking about, you know, asset allocation and where people felt that they should be. And there wasn't a whole lot of difference in opinion, which kind of makes sense. Sometimes you get that one person who will say something and you're like, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. Or, oh, if their clients are thinking about it,
yeah,
you know, maybe I should be a little bit you know, more aggressive or more worried or whatever it is. And so, but it's also really interesting to see at these things. I was sitting at a table where, you know, we manage roughly $200 million for various folks. And I was sitting right next to somebody who manages $6 billion for folks. And we weren't that different in how we went about what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one day, hopefully we're the $6 billion folk, you know, sitting next to somebody else. But it's they're really good events. And, you know, as we've gotten more and more, we're getting more and more opportunities to participate in these. And, you know, similar to the last time I was down in Nashville where I was moderating an event, I'm going back and moderating an event in August. And there's, you know, a few more of these things coming up. And they're all just good things that we can bring back to clients. And, you know, even if it just helps one particular client, that can...
To me, it kind of falls under that kind of continuous education type deal. And I know that you're not going there to necessarily learn, but you're staying in the loop of what's going on, what might be coming around the bend, what other people are trying, what other people are doing. And, you know, sometimes that's necessary. You know, we get complacent and we'll be stuck at our desk and we can't really, you know, be open to new ideas or see new things coming around. So it's really neat that we have the opportunity to do that. It's also really neat that people are asking us.
And that's the thing, you know. And sometimes, you know, a lot of these invitations will come in to me and certain groups are, you know, I'll say, well, do you care if another advisor comes down? And some people want, you know, the president of the company to come or whatever it is. But I think what you just said is really important in that it's important to have your education, you know, and we've all got MBAs here between me, Brian, and Kaylee, and certifications and things like that. But there's not a huge amount of that that I would say that is directly applicable to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not running a business. We're not, I mean, I am, but we're not, we're a lot of what in an MBA, you know, I remember taking like production management and, you know, I'm not worried about assembly lines. Now I have to be able to evaluate companies that have assembly lines or processes like that. But in our field, there's just not a whole lot of, there's not a doctorate in,
yeah,
you know, investment management. So these are the ways, and with how quickly the world changes, these things tend to be super current, super relevant. You're going to see more and more of these things about AI and how it affects investing and everything else. And they are, we're very blessed that we're able to get out to some of these.
You said something that really kind of struck a chord with me about all of the, I guess, all of the things you learn going through school. And it kind of made me pivot. I was having a conversation yesterday with a gentleman just across the street, cutting my hair. We were talking about, you know, all the things that kids are learning in school these days and all the things that we probably hope that they would be learning that they're not. So it's very much in the same breath of trying to stay up to date with what's going on. And you know, it just made me think back to that conversation with him because we were talking about it from a different angle, you know, all the things that the younger kids and we help out with kids as much as we can anytime we get the chance, you know, just knowing how to balance a checkbook or knowing what a debit card is or knowing how a credit card works and knowing that when that 25% interest hits
what that really
multiple
means.
Times, yeah. How quickly that can get you in really deep waters. So it's just funny. I think about that stuff all the time. So
I know that there's a class for personal finance in Tennessee, but there's so many things that it seems like, you know, the advent of the internet and having Google at your fingertips through your phone that we could say, okay, if you ever really needed that stuff, you could get it. Let's teach you these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be more important, but you know, we're actually at that point of the year where we're about to sign Henry up for sophomore classes, and we've been going through what the options are and all that sort of thing. And you know, there's some great programs that he can take and that he can do, but then you sit there and go, Does he know how to use a washing machine, or does he, you know, just the common sense stuff, you know, you're jumping straight to, like, I think one of the classes he's working on is like coding, and he's in the advanced math track, so he'll be doing pre-cal and trigonometry and Spanish and all this stuff, and those are all great things to know. But if he didn't have somebody at home teaching him some of these other life skills, you get on the real world and you're like, oh, you know,
well,
rent is going to kill me. Or,
yeah, that's really important, because there's a lot of kids now that, you know, we talk about how college, maybe it just isn't for everyone, and that's okay. You know, as long as you are pursuing some sort of passion, career, trade, what have you. So those kids may not even make it past, you know, a high school point of learning some of these life skills. And then there's also the trickle down effect of, you know, there's a lot of absent parents these days. So some of these kids aren't learning this stuff at home. And it's just, you, when you think about it, you know, when you get outside of your bubble, and you think about it, there's a big picture here of these students and kids that aren't being served, aren't being taught. And, you know, we try to fill in those gaps any chance we get. We have a lot of people. I know Brian's spoke to students before, and you've done things. And we've, anytime people approach us with anything on the educational side, we always try to jump in head first and help. I hope we do help. They probably think we're a bunch of nerds.
One day, you know, nerds will rule the world. But the thing is, some of this stuff is complex, and not by choice. It's the way the system has evolved over time.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, medical things are outside my domain, car things are outside my domain, and I don't know those things near as well as I probably should, but there are people out there that I trust, and we get the advice from them. But finances is one of those things that you ignore it long enough, kind of like your health, and things get out of control
real
quickly.
You reach a point where it's too late.
Yep.
And whether that be in health or whether that be in finances, both can cause some major impacts in a negative way on your life if you don't get those adjusted earlier on.
Well, and they impact each other too. Stress is huge, and money stress is one of those things that affects your health, and then health costs are one of those things that can just crush your finances. So yeah,
let's maybe take a turn on a lighter note here. I get random messages kind of like on this day in history type stuff, and
right,
I noticed this, and normally I just pass them up because it's stuff that I'm not really that interested about, but I happened to look in depth on this one. And it appears that on March 8th in 1817, the New York Stock Exchange is founded. And I was like, well, hey, that's kind of in our, you know, in our wheelhouse.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's 1817.
Yeah.
How, like, and then I sat there for a minute and I started to analyze this, and I was thinking, how in the world is that even possible? How did they, because we think about it now, we think stock tickers and you know, all this, you know, digital and technology and things. And 1817, that's, what were they doing? Like, so, how is that possible?
And it goes back even further. So it actually goes back to 1792. There was what was called the Buttonwood Agreement. And that was signed on my birthday in 1792. And so there was these 24 gentlemen in New York, and they were kind of meeting in secret underneath this buttonwood tree in New York, because there were still trees in New York outside of Central Park. But at the time, it really was kind of the wild, wild west in securities. So if somebody wanted to start a company and sell shares of their, you know, stock or whatever it is, you just went around and tried to sell it. And so you would have these ventures like, I want to build a toll road, and that's what my company does. And you would sell shares of your stock to, you know, try and fund this venture. And or you would go to these banks or whatnot. So these 24 gentlemen kind of get together and like, look, we got to create some sort of rules and regs, because, and they were meeting in secret because they didn't want to be, I guess, accused of manipulating the system, because financiers at the time, kind of like today, they don't have the best reputation that they're only out for themselves and whatnot. So they signed the Buttonwood Agreement in 1792 that basically said, look, between the 24 of us who control a huge portion, we're only going to deal with each other. And people are going to have to come through us to get these things. And then between 1792 and 1817, it became more and more formalized. And so by the time 1817 comes around, they established the New York Stock Exchange. So if you had a business that you wanted to take public and then it could start to be traded, you would go now to this group and you would put it on the exchange. And, you know, it's one of those things. We've had such an evolution of things. And my dad, who in the 60s was down on Wall Street, you know, even by then, he was talking about the fact that you would have these couriers who throughout the day, these different stock trades would happen. And so maybe, you know, the equivalent of, and it was around back then, but like JP Morgan and Bank of America and all these different brokerage houses, they would tally it up at the end of the day. It's like, all right, the JP Morgan clients traded X number of stock and we need to get the actual certificates from our building to the Bank of America building because now they own more than we do. And couriers would carry suitcases full of certificates through New York to get them there. You know, now everything's electronic, but
and don't we have certificates?
Certificates still exist, but they are a relic. And so you can get them, but a lot of times it costs more to get the certificate than one share of stock actually costs. So, and you know, it depends, but everything's electronic now. But yeah, so going back to 1817, we've been doing this and even a little bit further. And I always think about the classic Mary Poppins film and George Banks, who works for Fidelity, you know, Bank. And he talks about how by putting tuppence in the bank, that his son Michael will be part of all these things, you know, trains through India and expeditions, and they're funding these things. And it was through these banks and these financiers. And, you know, financiers always get such a bad rap because, you know, they're not producing anything. They're just making money with other people's money type thing.
Right, yeah.
But that really kind of was what it was. So like U.S. Steel and some of these early companies, they would have to get their money for their ventures by going public. You didn't have near the amount of like private investors who would get like an Uber or somebody up and running, and then it was already worth billions by the time it came to market. They would have to present through these exchanges their idea for a company and try to raise money and then return money back through dividends and
well,
whatnot.
I guess there was more going on than I originally realized, because, you know, I'm just looking at what were major inventions in the 1800s. You know, everyday things consumers took for granted by the 20th century, like the light bulb, telephones, typewriters, sewing machines, phonographs. And there was one even said, you know, Winchester rifle, steam locomotive. That's just wild to me. One thing I'm always interested in is how people come up with stuff, because I'm more of a creative. And it's really interesting to me that a group of guys or people, rather, I don't know necessarily if it was guys, it may have been, got together and kind of put together this idea of stock market and stocks and what that means financially to your business. It's just, that's interesting to me.
Well, and you think about the Industrial Revolution was 1760 to 1840, give or take. And a lot of this was then, but what is given credit for being the very first stock to be able to be bought by the public was the Dutch East India Trading Company. So the East India Trading Company is right out of Pirates of the Caribbean, and that's who was funding voyages to go and we'll lean on the more ethical things that they did.
Right, right,
You know, that's what, you know, they were going down and having voyages. And so the public, by buying these shares of stock, were funding the East India Trading Company. And so there was like a Spanish East India Trading Company, a Dutch, an English, and all this and the other. But the Dutch East India Company was the very first stock. And they were funding voyages. So, you know, they were partially, you know, protecting ships from pirates. And, oh, well, if we fund a voyage with enough, then we can send X number of cannons or a galleon that can bring back X number of, I don't know, whatever it would be, bushels of sugarcane or whatever it happened to be. And so, yeah, that's where we got our start.
I apologize, everyone, for the the random history lesson here. I think we're all learning together. I didn't know that all this stuff was going on. There are some other really neat... we're running out of time, but I just want to read a couple of these really quick. So today, on this day in 1996, Fargo was released in the U.S., the movie Fargo. That's what it says. Yeah, Fargo.
I've never seen it.
Wow.
Seen the series either.
Well, I've not seen the series. You need to watch the movie. It's worth watching. I literally had this conversation with Brian before he left because we had a client in that he was talking to and was just, he had mentioned Fargo being a great movie he loved. And Brian was like, I've never seen it. You guys need to watch it. Maybe we can have a movie day here and watch it.
We'll have a appreciation day for everybody.
Also today, in 1936, the first stock car race was held in Daytona Beach, Florida. Dale Earnhardt won.
Number three.
What everyone always said, it's like they say, raise hell, praise Dale, or something like that. Exactly. Yeah, well... which seems fitting because we have Bristol Race this weekend, Food City 500, which has been around for ages. And I think the last one here that before we duck out says in 1971, Joe Frazier ends Muhammad Ali's 31 fight winning streak at Madison Square Garden. He won by unanimous points in decision over 15 rounds, called the fight of the century.
Fight of the century. Then Muhammad Ali would come back and beat Joe Frazier again after. One of my, and not to go off on another tangent with time, but if you've never seen Billy Crystal do Muhammad Ali's,
it's amazing.
It's unbelievable. He does
almost, if you just listened and didn't hear him, think it was Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali and Howard Cosell and everything. And so when you mention that, you know, the first thing that comes into my mind is Billy Crystal going, ugly Joe Frazier. Yeah. You know? and that's where, like, that speech that he does honoring Muhammad Ali.
At his funeral.
Yeah, he did another one at his funeral, but the original one he did, I guess maybe when he got into the Hall of Fame or something where they were doing it. That's the one where he's like, Muhammad Ali is saying, I'm so fast, Howard. I can turn off the lights and be in bed before the room goes dark. You know? And so I love that one. Billy Crystal with that is unbelievable.
Billy Crystal, underrated, I think.
Oh, I absolutely.
And every time I think of him, I always immediately think City Slickers.
City Slickers. And then, you know, I think Billy Crystal, I think Robin Williams, because they had such a tight connection.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's hard to shine as bright as Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So I think that may play into a little bit of why Billy Crystal is a little underrated. But Billy Crystal is amazing. He got a one-day contract with the Yankees and actually had a decent at-bat for him in spring training one year.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Huge Yankees fan. It is spring training. It's baseball season. Yeah, I apologize in advance. This is, you know, where the podcast is going for the next little bit.
Yeah, this is when Brian starts to go into depression because all we want to talk about is baseball on the podcast.
We get a little bit of March Madness before it, and then we'll go there.
Well, thank you, everyone, for hanging with us. Clearly, we didn't take our ADHD meds this morning. We're all over the map, and that's okay. We hope you enjoyed it. If you do have any questions, though, tax-related, or, hey, if you want to ask some fun questions, just send those to connect@afiadvisors.com. Be sure to go check us out on all of our social channels. We do have a website, afiadvisors.com, and we will catch you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.
For more awesome content, like and subscribe now.